All right, let's get on with it. Romans 12:1, we're now down to the nitty-gritty here of the measures of intelligence our Father is going to check us out on and hold us accountable for. And as we ended our last lesson, we understand that we are going to now present ourselves not only as a living sacrifice with all that Romans 6:1-18 accomplished within us, but also holy in light of our sonship status of what Romans 8:14-15 oriented us to. And now we're going to present ourselves acceptable unto God, which is going to point directly at the information specifically in our sonship establishment. And when you present yourself, therefore, as acceptable, it's going to be a moment in which your Father's going to check out the genuineness, again, as a checkpoint does, the genuineness of your credentials. And that you understand and appreciate that when you look at that Bible, and you look especially at Romans through Philemon or Romans through 2 Thessalonians especially, that curriculum you perceive as something your Father so wisely, so ingeniously composed, so that any and every possible thing you will ever face in your life, and that means suffering-wise, of I don't care if it's physical, medical problems, sickness, disease, crime, some serious issues, all in, wrapped up in those sufferings of Christ that you learn about in Romans 8:16-18 right there. Anything you're going to face suffering-wise, anything you could face enemy-wise, and your biggest enemy being you in two different ways, you as your own worst enemy, when it comes to muffing up sin-wise and all of those kinds of things, you as your own worst enemy, when it comes to opting out of some of these sonship graces, all of that, as well as even Satan and his policy of evil-wise. So you've got suffering-wise, enemy-wise, policy of evil-wise, nothing you'll ever face. When you do face them, and you will face some of those things, no doubt. When you do face any and all of them, the curriculum has the capacity, it has built into it the ability to handle all of that. And you're told that up before you ever get to this point. If you had any doubt about it, you should be gone by now. You shouldn't be here anymore. But that doubt should have been totally displaced by what your Father did with you and told you. And so you now recognize that that curriculum can handle it and successfully deal with it to the tune of you being more than a conqueror in all those things, not being removed from those things, but right in the midst of them. So therefore, the only way God is going to accept you here at Romans 12:1 as ready to move on to phase 2 of level 1 is that you present yourself to Him acceptable in His sight. And therefore, by the genuine recognition that you are fully persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus your Lord. That's what you're being checked out. That's the acceptable measure to pass that checkpoint. The effectual working of Romans 8:16-39 makes you acceptable to God in the context of Romans 12:1. That's the simple matter of it. The effectual working of Romans 8:16-39 makes you acceptable to God in the context of Romans 12:1. Now, while all that's true, we're not going to put a check there just yet. I want to add something to it, and you should anticipate what I'm going to be adding. Let's take that issue of presenting yourself as acceptable. While everything we've said is true, Romans 8:16-39, especially 28-39 being intelligently understood by you, and you can tell your Father that it is, let's add to that the measure of understanding that we got at the end of Romans 8:39. Let's add to that understanding, since the issue for us as sons in our sonship establishment is to what? Think back to Proverbs, to perceive the words of understanding. Let's recognize that to be fully acceptable in God's sight at this time, we should recognize that we're also being held accountable for the information that's contained in the non-typical sonship establishment issues of Romans 9, 10, and 11. So I'm going to add that to that acceptable level. That's critical, or else God and Paul would not spend three chapters dealing with that particular issue. And it's there that you came to understand and appreciate some matters about God's Word rightly divided. If we put our timeline chart up on the board, some of this now has a meaning to it that it did not possess before we went through that. You understand that God has two different programs that he's got in view now. He only had one up until he raised up and saved the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. But you understand that God has now, in this dispensation of grace in which we live right now here. This is where we live. Therefore, these books of Romans through Philemon, that's written to you, for you, and about you. Genesis through Acts 8 is not written to you or about you. It is written for you. The whole Bible is written for you. Hebrews through the book of the Revelation is not written to you or about you. You're not in those books. I know a lot of people like to say you're in Revelation, the first few chapters there, seven letters to the seven churches. That's not Gentile churches. In fact, those churches haven't even existed yet. You're not in those books. You're not back here. You are a mystery that was kept hid in God, the mystery of Christ that God never revealed to anyone, spoke about to anyone, not even Jesus in his earthly ministry alluded to it or spoke about it or even prepared for it. And this entire program of Israel is to repossess this earth back to God, and have him put his residence upon it and live here. But that's not what your business with him is. Your business is not to bring that kingdom in and set it up on earth. Therefore, living the Sermon on the Mount is going to do you no good. Your business today is in the heavenly places, and it's to repossess the rest of the universe, the heavenly places, from the hands and grip of the adversary and his cohorts, those principalities, powers, mights, dominions, thrones, and God reconcile that realm back to himself through you, a new creature that he's going to put and liberate the old creature with, called the church, the body of Christ. So that information is very important that we're held accountable to in Romans 9, 10, and 11. That also go to make us acceptable in God's sight. And so we see his program with Israel as being suspended, as being entirely different and distinct to what he's doing now with us Gentiles in this dispensation of Gentile grace. And so therefore, and listen to this carefully, I've said it 1,000 times, if I said it once, you are not to attempt to find your sonship curriculum in God's Word, in the Scriptures that he wrote to, for, and about Israel. Genesis through Acts, Hebrews through Revelation. But you instead find that information in the letters of the Apostle Paul, which were written to you, for you, and about you. That has your mail. That's your mail. It's got your address on it. So therefore, the final verification that you have at the sonship checkpoint, where you present your credentials to be verified by presenting your bodies unto God as acceptable, that last one there takes into account the measure of our intelligent understanding and actually the effectual working of Romans 8, 16 through 39, plus what we did in that survey in Romans 9, 10, and 11, that you have that down, that Israel has a future. Their future isn't thrown into doubt. As soon as this dispensation ends, when God catches us up and takes us out of here, what is commonly known as the rapture, he will commence with his program with Israel, fulfill every single detail that he ever promised about it, and establish his kingdom residence on this earth with Israel. So that's the kind of measure of intelligence we're supposed to have. Maybe you can see now why I said so many times that this checkpoint is so designed that it is totally impossible to fake it. It can't be faked. It's got too many safety measures built into it to see that that doesn't happen. So we have, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And once that is given to your Father, of your measure of understanding, that those things, and I'm not saying you have to go through every verse with your Father, but that you're able to articulate to Him your measure of understanding of what that doctrine was designed to do, and it did it, then you're acceptable in His sight. You're not doubting that curriculum. You're not doubting Him in the sober, somber, human bravado removed position you're now in when you face the things that are listed to you there in Romans 8 that adversary can do to you. You have absolute confidence that your Father's curriculum has already thought of that and handles every bit of it. I don't even have to even think about it. Well, that's what we get then. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And now we have that last phrase, which is your reasonable service. Your reasonable service. Now, in view of the mercies of God that we talked about, and in view of the body of information that now become effectually working in your inner man, that is, in view of all of this and this and that, Paul says to you, you know, this is your reasonable service. You can, I know duh is not a biblical word, but it's almost appropriate here. No kidding. And some people get hung up on the issue here of this reasonable service thing, but in view of all that now should be up and effectually working, Paul says to you, this is reasonable. This is your reasonable service. It's the only reasonable thing for you to do at this point. You're standing at a checkpoint. Your Father's standing there. Paul's giving you the elbow a little bit, saying, son, it's your move. And in view of all of this, it's your reasonable service for you to do this at this point. Now, this phrase, especially all of Romans 12:1 is terribly messed up in most English translations, other English Bibles. But especially the last phrase of verse 1 in Romans 12 in all the other modern English translations is butchered. For instance, the NIV translates it, this is your spiritual act of worship. This is a great case, by the way, of Greek writers who just vapor lock in their minds and they just start regurgitating something. But that misses it totally. This is your spiritual act of worship. The New American Standard Version, which I used to use, is not much better. It says, which is your spiritual service of worship. At least they put the word service in there. One of the worst translations of all is called the New Living Translation. They just say, is this too much to ask? Yeah. It is laughable when you realize each word is so carefully chosen by your Father to be the most excellent choice. Again, you have reasonable, and it is the Greek word logikos, or logikos, which looks like this, L-O-G-I-K, and then just simply O-S. This is L-O-G-I-K-O-S. You see anything that resembles an English word? Yep, logic. It's like your logical service. Logikos does mean pertaining to reason or logic. But the King James translators understood from the context that the word reasonable particular context is the most excellent of all choices. And there's a reason why the translators didn't say your logical service. Even though that's very close, it's not close enough. We have an English word that can better reflect the context, and it's our word reasonable. It's your reasonable service. One of the reasons why reasonable is the most excellent word here is because you're supposed to view, it makes you think about the way you're viewing all your Father's taken you through. And remember how many times I told you as we went through things, let me give you a good example of that. Back in Romans chapter 8, the very first probing question of verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? What did I teach you the answer to that? What's the answer to that question? No one. But is that question answered logically? No, it can't be. Because if all it is a logical answer, even an atheist could answer that properly. An unbeliever could answer that properly. If God is super, super, duper, duper, Superman, and he's all-knowing, all-powerful, all this and all that, who could possibly be against us? Well, nobody. And all an atheist has to do is suspend his unbelief for a while, and he can answer the question properly. But that's not supposed to be viewed from pure logic. That's one of the reasons why your logical service here is not quite the best word. Because there's things that you were taught and things that you encountered through this body of information that you had to process from the viewpoint of seeing this the way your Father sees it. And not just based on pure logic, but based upon the information that He's been giving you so that you see this as His Son, but see it from His point of view. So Paul comes along and says, this is your reasonable service. You've gone through a big body of information. And you're supposed to now stop. That's what a checkpoint does. It stops you, and because of the terminology you're given that checks your credentials as being valid for moving on, you're supposed to reason. You're supposed to think through, which is what you're doing, which is your reasonable service. It's saying, son, take each one of these issues, living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. Think through that for a moment. Just you don't have to go through it in great deep, but think now what's been gone through and reason through all that information and reason through and bring back to your mind the kind of attitudes that your Father has had to adjust and ones He's had to completely develop, as well as the kind of commitment that you now have, the desire that you've got that has you crying Abba even to a greater degree than ever before. And it's all genuine because it's all been produced by His words living in you. And you have this godly enthusiasm that all got developed. You first started out with just wanting it. What did you end up with? Please answer this. What? Loving it. Yeah, what started to just be, hey, yeah, I want that, turned into, hey, I really desire that, and finally polished up by, I love this. And I now have the love of Christ developed in me, the love for my sonship life exactly like He has for His own. And your Father has developed all of that, and those are things that should go through your reasoning as you think through these terms and these descriptive phrases. And by way of reasoning through all of that at this checkpoint, that allows the time and the opportunity when you're talking to your Father in sonship prayer that you tell your Father that that's all stuck with you. That's a permanent matter of my life from now on. Now, I'm not saying I can quote every single word from Romans 6, 1 through 11. But those doctrines have done their job and they're stuck. And therefore, what you're telling your Father is that all of that has done its effectual job. And by the way, because this is a real, true, honest father-to-son relationship, it's a two-way street, He needs to hear that from you at this checkpoint. He's not just going to scan you and see if it's there. He needs for you to sit down and tell Him it's there. And again, I'm not saying that you need to go through every detail of this with Him, but you need to be able to say it to Him in enough way so that you intelligently know what you're doing. Your credentials are valid. And by reasoning through that, you're telling him that you agree with him. That's there, and that's there. And you want all that he wants for you. What he wants for me, I want it too. One other important thing about reasonable service. The word reasonable, the excellency of that word is that that's adulthood thinking. An adult reasons his way through something. It's his reasonable service. It's reasonable, it's sound, because you can think through those things. It becomes your reasonable service. There's sound. If you look up reasonable, you're going to find somewhere along the line it talks about sound judgment being involved in it. And when you're contemplating passing this checkpoint, which is what this goofy little thing is supposed to be, you're approaching it as from adulthood type thinking, and there's sound judgment and sound evaluation going on. And as you reason through the information and talk to your father, you then request to move on. And your reasonable service is to articulate to your father all that he has done with you up to this point, that it's all been accomplished, that has been done. And now, Father, I am presenting myself. This is what I should reasonably do. Present myself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. And I'm now, your father agrees. You're now intelligently ready to move on. Reasonable is an intelligent appreciation of where you're at. You're looking at, and it's an intelligent understanding and appreciation of where you're at and what your father needs to evaluate to see your readiness and accept the presentation of yourself. And he wants you to intelligently demonstrate that you and him are on the same page. I know what this sonship is about. I haven't got the education yet, but I know what you've told me it is. And you and him are on the same page, and therefore you're ready for phase two of level one to begin. I don't know how to say it any better or any more than that. Maybe except to say that reasonable is not being used in the sense that, son, I'm not asking you to do anything unreasonable here. That's not the sense of it here. But it's being used in the sense that, look, you as an adult, look at what you've learned. And simply, in view of that, present yourself, your body, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That's the only sound, rational, reasonable thing for you to do now. And when you apply your mind to it, you'll see that it is the reasonable and the necessary and the needful thing to do at this point, at this checkpoint. And that's to present yourself to your Father in such a way that he sees that everything that needs to be in place in your inner man, by you telling him about it, is in place in your inner man. And he can accept you into the education. It's like applying to a board for admittance into a school program. And with these three checks, you're admitted. And that's where the issue comes along, where when that's done properly, now we've got verse 2 yet, but what will wind up happening is then God will come along and say, you pass. Let's get on to verse 3 and get blowing and going, because we've got a lot we've got to learn. You got a mind that needs to be transformed. It hasn't even begun to get transformed yet. You say, well, man, I don't think at all like I used to think. You ain't seen nothing yet. Everything we've covered up to this point, you're going to get your socks knocked off of you by what we're going to look at. We've got some things coming up in chapter 13 that we're going to describe now I can't even tell you about. You're not ready for it, but you will be by then. And it has to do with the creature, and it has to do with the way Satan can utilize the creature and how he can attack you without having to possess you with a demon or any of those goofball ideas. Well, let's take the pass off there for a moment. But Romans 12 and verse 1 really by now should be clear and understandable to you. When Paul comes along and he says, there's one more thing I want to bring out here. I don't want to let this go. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. See the last word of the verse. Even that word, service, what does that point to? Yeah. Back up, you said my position. Back one word off of that. My, me, you. That's what it's pointing to. You make the next move. See, that's not my idea. This is, Paul doesn't say, which is the reasonable thing to do. He says it's your reasonable service. Service means you're now doing the moving. You're now doing the action. You're now you're doing it now. Now you're making the next move. This is your reasonable service. And you have a service to perform here at this checkpoint. And that's to make an adult sonship decision to move on with the education, to present your credentials to your father, have him verify them, evaluate them as being honest, genuine, and intelligent. And he comes along and he says, I agree with you that all the demands of this checkpoint have been met. And so you can pass it and move on. But even that word, even in passing the checkpoint, that little word service comes along and points again to it as being just what we've described it as being. It is a checkpoint. Because it's your service now that's the reasonable thing to do. And another thing that I like about the word service there, and I'm not going to go into this in any detail because I'm not real sure that it ties in perfectly here and all. I haven't settled it all out in my own mind. It's a different Greek word, I know, but even all the way back up in Romans chapter 6, the terminology that our Father used with us was that ye yield your members as servants of righteousness unto holiness. Servants. Not slaves, servants. And this is your reasonable service. This whole thing in Romans 12:1 is in connection with that service that you so want to do, only every time you try to get your hands on it with your energy and your thinking, or you try to grab a hold of something perfect and holy like the law to put that all into practice, it blows up and fails. So, and you see where your mind always goes back to? Grace. It's grace that needs to abound. And God doing that work. And God getting the credit for it because it's His words and it's His Spirit that leads and it's His thinking and it's His education. And there's just, I don't know, I just could go on and on, but there's so many little details that you just kind of read through that verse and you just smile and you say how deep each word goes because it's all rooted and connected to so many things that are sitting in chapters 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 and 11. Six chapters that you're being checked out for there. It's really an amazing moment in your Christian life. As I said before, I don't know if you'll write it on a calendar, remember it year to year, but it's that significant. It's that significant. The day that you present your body to your Father as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him. Because you're going to begin at verse 3, the training for an occupation or for a vocation, as Paul will call it in the book of Ephesians, that takes everything you could ever do on this earth and makes it pale by comparison, no matter how much money you make from it, no matter how wealthy you get off of it. You can't buy spiritual merchandise with that kind of money. But you can purchase spiritual things and spiritual merchandise with this sonship curriculum. And we talked about that. Well, That takes us really back to looking at the next verse, but there's a couple of things. There's something I want to do here, so we might wind up leaving a little early. I don't think anybody will throw rocks at me for that. But we have now, as far as I can teach you and as far as I can exhort you and remind you and all the other things we've done, as far as I'm concerned, we now should have an understanding of verse 1, the first component to the checkpoint. Now there's two more components that we need to look at in verse 2. And that is, from now on, once you've presented your body to your Father and you're going to move on now into the next phase of your edification, from now on, in very broad and general terms, your life is going to bear two marks from here on out. The first one is a negative. You're not going to be conformed to this world. And the second one is a positive. You're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you are going to prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. By the way, we've got another little list there, don't we? Good, acceptable, and perfect. There's a reason why they're those words, and there's a reason why they're in that order. And there's a reason why there's only three. Not four, not two. There had to be three. I was thinking about when we would approach that issue that you're going to be the one proving. If you want to see how dramatically different this is than modern Christianity, you're looking at it. Modern Christianity, average Christianity today, says what? How do they find the will of God? Pray for it. They pray, 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 pray. They pray through, brother. Get out on the knees until they bleed. Get your prayer closet. Pray for God's will. Lay hands on you for God's will. And what you're trying to ask God to do, God says, you got it all wrong. You get to tell me what my will is. If you ever want to, don't do this. Don't do this. I'm telling you not to do it, so now you've been warned. Don't do it. This doesn't ring entirely true, but to get the point across and be as blunt as I can be to get it to stick, how would you like sometime when you're working with and somebody comes up to you and they say, I just need to pray for God's will in this matter? Don't do this. I'm telling you, don't do this. If you do and I find about it, I'm going to punch you. But what I'd like to tell them is, I'll tell God what His will is in this matter. Can you imagine the kind of response you'd get? Blasphemer! Heretic! I'll tell God what His will is. Now, that's not entirely right, and it's way too blunt. But that gets the point across, because you're going to be the one to prove what His will is by the sonship decisions you make based upon the wisdom He imparts to you. You'll be able to see those decisions and say, I don't need to pray about this. I already know. I know what my Father would choose if He were here and in my body choosing it. I don't have to pray about it. I know exactly what it is. That's the kind of precision you're going to get beginning in Romans 12:3. It's where it all begins. So these two components are going to be fun to deal with here. Not going to take a lot of time, but we need to deal with verse 2. And before we do that, beginning on Sunday morning, I'm going to close here. There's something I want to do before we get to verse 2. I just want to point your attention to it, and I don't have enough time to do it tonight, so I'm not even going to get into it. But I want to take just a pause between those two verses, and I want to bring up to your attention something that was said earlier to us, in which when you arrive here at Romans 12:1 and 2, I'm not saying you're tipped off to it, but it shouldn't surprise you that your Father wants to stop you at a checkpoint and verify your credentials to move on. Something was already said to you that makes it so you shouldn't have dreaded this coming up. It shouldn't have surprised you or anything along those lines. But something was said so that it would make it so that you should, far from the way you or me, especially me, ever approached a quiz in high school with dread, or a test, a final, in university or college. Instead of that, you should want and desire to stand at this checkpoint and be checked out just exactly this way. And there's a place in God's Word that makes it so that what you are tipped off to here is that you have an obligation you knew about before you got here to be held accountable for this information. And I'm going to point that out to you just by way of, I think it's fascinating, and to see another wonderful connection that's being made here. And we'll just point that out, and then on Sunday we will move on into what it means by not being conformed to this world. And let me just say, when I say what it means, it's general right now. That's all going to get more and more specific as we go. We don't need to run this as a category of doctrine from stem to stern, but we need to know what's sufficient in the context for us to realize from this day forward, as I pass that checkpoint, my life is going to consist of not being conformed to this world. And folks, there's a lot more there than just playing cards and how you wear your hair, your skirt, or any other goofy things that people talk about in connection with that. So we'll start dealing with that on Sunday morning. I think we'll stop right there and we'll let it go for tonight, unless there's any questions about verse 1. Well, I think so. I mean, it's something that you are obediently doing. Yeah.
You let go of your will and gather yourself to the will of God.
Well, yeah, you and him are coming to terms. You're coming to an agreement that you're both on the same page. And if you think of that way, I don't have a problem with that. But that's what you're doing. I'll tell you what I'm going to say on Sunday. This is the bottom line of it. You know that this is your duty to do this.
I feel like I have been conscripted. Now I feel I'm in the army of God.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we are Christian soldiers after all.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We got a fight that those who have battled on the battlefields of this earth can't imagine is coming their way. Yeah. By the way, a little bit of it's already started, but you just don't know it. I do. Being the point man here, I'm the one that usually will know that before you know it. It doesn't concern you right now, but it's already started. All I can tell you is what we do at this assembly is not going to be well accepted. Not even among grace folks. But that's half the fun. No, I don't want to become fewer. No. I don't want to become huge either, but it'd be nice to get a few more here. That'd be great. And we are going to get a few more. There's some of those people that came to the gathering that are going to move here. Not a lot of them, but there's a couple of them that are. Just a matter of getting retirement and all that squared around and all those kinds of things. So, by the way, this month in just a few weeks, the Polinos are going to come and visit us from upstate New York, and be glad to see them. They really would have liked to have been here for the gathering, but couldn't. Well, good. As soon as we get through verse 2, I'm just going to put it between you and your Father, and then we'll get together and I'll just simply say, are we ready? And we'll move on. All right, we'll stop right there with our heads bowed. Father, thank you for this opportunity of understanding and appreciating in reality what verse 12 or chapter 12 and verse 1 is talking about. We thank you for the opportunity to present our bodies to you in this manner. a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, and that we know exactly what those expressions are saying to us and what we're being held accountable for. We just pray that we will spend the time with you, either all at once or gradually, to cover this information and make sure that we are clear with you what we understand and appreciate, and that together we can check these things off, pass this checkpoint, and begin this marvelous instruction into your wisdom and to transforming ourselves through the renewing of our minds and emulating you and our Lord Jesus Christ. We just thank you for this opportunity once again of your grace and pray for your wisdom in the matters that we have presented, and pray that they will be again to the effectual working and edifying of our inner man unto godliness which is in faith. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.